Yeah. Anyway, so this is Jay. Listen to him. He's really good. And he hates holding the mic. So he might have put it down because he speaks loudly. So here you go.
Yeah, I'm not good with this thing here, but, you know, my wife has, I'm a well-groomed husband. Dishes, clothes, fold clothes, even that funky sheet that wraps around the thing. I had to learn how to do that one, too, which I don't know who designed that, but it is not good. So, and she also, you know, taught me that if you don't like something, just don't stop your complaining and just do it. So I'm not going to complain about how I dislike this mic because she told me not to, so I won't do any of that. Amen. It's actually a nice mic because it's got this thing on here, and so it doesn't have to ring. And if I hold it right there, which I probably end up doing, I do have a big mouth. It's part of being an East Coast, kind of just outside New York kind of deal, so I do apologize for that. It is the way it is. It matches my big head, big nose, big ears as well. The only thing I don't have is big arms, and I really was hoping that I would, but it looks like it's never going to happen. John chapter 14. It is so good to be with you. I certainly appreciate it. It's the odd thing with Pastor Jeff and I is we don't ever communicate. He's probably one of the few pastors that I actually go to their church, and we don't email or text. It's just one of those things. He's usually communicated by some of his other brothers, Pastor Chuck Tilton or Pastor Scott Olin, and so I always end up coming, and I don't always know until there's just 2 weeks ahead, but you have to know that even when I don't speak with him, there's a similarity, and there's a kind of a walking together. He's not the only one that we maintain, even though we're apart, and even though Linda's not here, because it's been one of these things, okay, we're here 20 days, and I've spoken 18 times out of the 20 days that we've been here, and she has spoken twice, so it's one of those things. And when we get back to Florida, 2 days before we enter a very critical conference for a very particular situation. And so she's kind of like, I'm chilling tonight. Tell Jeff, love him, but I'll see him on the next trip. We usually see him either at the gym or at Starbucks or Zojo's. It's always one of those.
What's Starbucks?
Well, I don't know, but I saw a Starbucks container a little while ago. I don't know. It's up on the stage. Oh, there it still is. There it is. Look it. Some of us still sin. Some of us have really gotten saved and we go to Zojo's, you know, but the other ones, well, you know, my ears may not be pierced like him, but I would get a coffee anywhere if I needed one. And obviously he did. There he is. Yeah. I love that young man right there. He's my bro. You might have caught us on Facebook if you Facebook this past couple weeks. We were arm wrestling and he was pounding me. I know that seems impossible, but he was. John chapter 14. I'm still looking for it. I do have to do this.
Let me do one thing first.
I was thinking about this. When Jay comes to a region, and I don't even know, I'm sure somebody's done this or said this, but I have authority here. I have authority in this city. Different than Jay's authority. Jay has authority, but it's authority that's given him. And I think you have authority too, as believers in this area. And we can welcome him and his ministry here. And I just want you to do that. If you'd stand and just reach out your hands towards Jay, and just release. Just release him to be himself. I mean, he's been here for 3 weeks, and he's had lots of opportunities to speak, but Lord, we just want you to know we're after more than a speaker tonight. We want you, and we know that Jay hears your voice. Let him hear your voice specifically for this moment in time. We give him the authority to walk in this place, to minister in this place. We give them the authority that we have as believers who live here and dwell here and prosper here. We give him the authority to be everything you want him to be, Jesus. And we look forward to what you have to say. Amen.
Amen. Thanks,
bro. It just only works one way.
Oh, it does. Okay. He is right, and I'm often invited to a lot of places that they don't want to release me because they're not sure, they're afraid, they're uncertain. That doesn't stop me from being me at all. That's why I do love coming here. And of course, once I'm a couple of times and if people get used to me and understand things and they're not afraid, it does make it much, much easier for me. And you must know, if I spoke 40 times in 20 days, I still coming here to speak to Evangel, to speak to Three Rivers, to speak to us, to speak to him. That's just how it rolls, okay? So if you've been at Father's House, or if you've been at Scott Olin's, or I was this morning in Kelso, it all was different. Just depends on where it is, who it is. And of course, there are certain things that need to be said over this entire area, which I love that. I absolutely believe that. I just don't say it, but I certainly do. And I appreciated that very much. All right, John chapter 14, after 10 minutes of commercial. I want to read this one verse, and I want to pray, and then I want to just take us to a place tonight, to a dream, if you will. All right, I've been waiting for the Lord to check in. Appreciate that. He's into iPhones. I can't believe it. I guess the drone people are in trouble. Anyways, John 14:12. Verily, verily, I love this. 24 times in the book of John alone, he double enunciates. Whenever he does that, something's sovereignly changing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so for, you know, my relationship with this church. I certainly appreciate what Pastor Jeff has said, but I hear that with great humility, great honor, that I would be welcomed. What an honor for an East Coaster, what an honor for a West Coaster, what just an honor. So I understand the magnitude of what he says. I understand the moment we are in. I certainly understand the degree of authority and power you desire to release back to your people again. So tonight I ask that we really begin the dream. I want to, if I can be bold enough to say, set a fresh dream amongst my brothers here at Evangel, a fresh vision, a fresh hope. In an hour when even our TV and television and Hollywood kind of wonder, as the prophet Joel said, where is your God? In a day when much of the church is even questioning that very thing, wondering if those were just the good old days or the old days, or I always hear tragedy and to biblical proportion. How about power and might to biblical proportion? So let us dream tonight. I certainly am one of them. If there was ever a dreamer, it is you. If anyone has a dream for each one of us, for the day that we're living in, it is you. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It is the final night of his life. It's really the, as much as I love this entire Bible, it is the meditation of my own personal life and love. He had been with them 33 years, living 3.5 years. They watched him. They looked at him. They observed him, but they, even the 12, never really saw him. They appreciated everything he did. And this was the final night. My brother did such a great job with it tonight, with our communion time period of worship. He did recline, and they had no idea that he knew he had come from God and was going to God. Before he ever got to Golgotha, everything was given to him. He would sit at the meal, and the pressure was already building upon him. He knew that time passed time present, time future was coming together in one moment. Everything would rest upon this one while the priests were shuffling around looking for a lamb that was without spot and wrinkle. No one realized that that lamb was sitting right there. He was reclining. An argument broke out among them. Which one of them was the greatest? He, of course, if I had more time, would love to stop at this moment. And much like us and you and I, we do the same thing in the face of God. It's amazing. People are people, even the ones who walked with him. And he went over to the door, as you know, and disrobed and put on a towel. It was the position of the lowest slave that was ever there. It was the bond slave, the owned slave. Every one of those apostles walked in that door. They saw that, but they were apostles. They don't do menial. But they watched him do it, and he came over, and he washed all of their feet. Even Judas was there. He would leave before that final meal, but he was there for the foot washing. They, probably like me, would have been humiliated and almost distraught and probably still carry on the argument. Shut up, Philip. You shut up, Peter. Hey, Andrew, keep your friend quiet. Thomas, I know, you don't know anything. So they followed him out. It was almost midnight. They would go outside the city, maybe through Old Gate or Valley Gate, one of the two gates for sure, and they would head down to the Kidron Valley. I want to come back in a moment to this very spot, but I want to go back tonight in history. You see, he has always been here. He was here during Abel's time. He was here in Enoch's time. He was here in Noah's time, but the world had not yet known him. It wasn't until this invisible God, this unknown God, called out to a man in the Ur of Chaldees, 75 years old he was, and he called out to Abram, and he said, Abram, Abram had no idea who he was. And he said, I'm going to be your God. What a moment of time. The invisible God was calling out a man that this man would represent him. He said, I will be your God, you shall be mine. Your seed I will cause to bless every family that ever will exist. Out of you will come kings and nations. Man, Abraham was stoked. He thought, yo, yo. And so Abraham, from that day forward, went forth. You see, he had a, well, they were his camaraderies, his companions. Kind of the King James alludes to that, but they were really his posse. They were Amorites, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. They were his Amorites. They were his friends. They're the ones who gave him the name Hebrew. It just simply meant a guy that came across from the other side. And he said to them, hey, yo, I want you to know that the invisible God, yeah, the big guy upstairs, the fat one, the dude, you know, the God of all gods, you know, God, the invisible God. And they just kind of looked at him and they said, yeah, I want you to know the God of the heavens is my God. And they were his friends. And they said to him, whatever, Abraham, listen, the Amorites got their gods. The Egyptians got all kinds of gods. The Ammonites, the Hittites, the Hivites, they have them. The Chaldeans have them. The Assyrians have them. Everybody's got their own gods. What's the difference between your God and our God? You see, Isaac traveled too, and he walked across the promised land, and everybody Esau, he said the same thing. Hey, listen, I want you to know, the God of Abraham, yeah, the invisible God, the God, the creator of all things, he's my God. And everybody who met Isaac said the same thing. The Egyptians have their gods, the Amorites have their gods, the Chaldeans have their gods, Hittites, Hivites, Moabites, we all have gods. So what's the difference between your God and our God? You see, the world had not yet seen him. Well, Jacob went around saying the very same thing. So did Joseph. While he was in Egypt, he too told them about the God of his great-great-grandfather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they said the same thing to him as they said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They said the same thing to Joseph. You see, no one yet had tasted the power and the might of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The only ones who knew were the invisible world. Just for a moment, please, you see, there was a day that he is wanting us to come to know when there was just the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. These three were one. They had an intimacy and a love and a passion. They were in eternity. This is something that's always been in eternity. That's part of the reason he came, that we might know this. And there was a day that the Word spoke. Yeah, this invisible God simply spoke, and all the invisible world was created. Beasts, thrones and dominions, powers and principalities, angels, innumerable archangels. They just spoke. Just their word created everything invisible. Then there was even a rebellion. I mean, how stupid can you be than to rebel against the Creator by just simply speaking? Yo, he just speaks. Doesn't have to do anything. Doesn't have to beg anything. Just speaks. And you got to be stupid enough. How dumb? Just let me for just a few minutes. How stupid, how dumb, how much of an idiot are you? I still call him dumb, stupid, fool. That's right. I mean, how can you be, you can't be that ignorant. You see, they rebelled. But they too, this rebellion third of the angels, with Lucifer's rebellion against him who sits upon the throne and the Lamb who will be the Lamb and the Spirit. They all watched him as he, yeah, spoke and sun existed, earth existed. He began to declare what was invisible was visible. He began by his word to declare visible things. He spoke, and the universe was. He spoke, and the earth was. He said to the water, separate, and they did. He separated them. He spoke to seeds that didn't exist, and they existed. You see, the angelic and the demonic, they know the power of his might. But the earth had not yet tasted of the might of this yet invisible God. Well, you see, he told Abraham from the very beginning, there'll be a time that your seed will go into a strange land. They'll be there 400 years, and they will be greatly oppressed. But I shall bring them out with great substance. Abraham had no idea what he was talking about. Abraham looked up and said, whatever, sweet, okay. He had no idea, nor did Isaac, nor did Jacob, nor really did Joseph, but that day would arrive. It'd be 400 years, just like he said. The oppression was so great in Egypt. Joseph was sent before them, but after 40 or 50 years, less than 100 years, they oppressed them. Please, for a moment, live with me. Live with me right here, because sometimes we wonder, does he hear us? Does he know? Does he see? They cried out because of the oppression. It was such pressure upon them. They had no choice but to cry out to a God they had never seen, a God they had never known. They didn't know if he existed. They didn't know if he was simply a storybook. But out of no choice, they cried. Could he deliver them? Would he deliver them? Well, there was a man driven out of Egypt 40 years earlier to the date. His family raised him, and his stepmom gave him the name Moses. His buddies knew him as, that's right, the Big Mo. I'm talking about dreaming tonight, that we might dream again. And Big Mo saw a burning bush. I would go to it too, but it wasn't consumed. I think that's cool. So he went over to it, and I know everybody thinks he talks like, you know, Darth Vader.
Moses.
Well, they tried to do a good job on it, but please. You know, Hollywood's still trying to make biblical movies. We got to kind of cut them some slack. please. Just, they're trying. They're trying. So he says, kick off your shoes. Moses says, what up? And he said to him, I've heard the cry of my people. Can you believe this? This invisible God, this unknown God, heard the cry of his people. And he said to Moses, I've heard their cry and I've come down to deliver them. Moses, like me or you, thought, well, sounds really good, but I don't know if you know this. But you know, Egypt is the most powerful nation in the world. They really are. I mean, all the wealth is there because, you know, there was a guy a ways back. His name was, I don't know, anyways. All the wealth is there. Pharaoh, not afraid of anybody. And as far as gods and everything, they got just a few. And I don't know. You know, I don't really know. I mean, you know, I don't know if he's going to really go for this. You see, I'm dreaming this morning. The Lord says to Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, because he needs to hear it. You go tell all Egypt, because they need to hear it. But you go tell my people too, because they need to hear it. I am God Almighty, and I will deliver them. Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I don't think so. You're out of here. We're about to see a demonstration of the power of this God. He was the invisible God. The world had not yet tasted of the power of his might. They had no idea he was. Even his own people did not know. Could he do it? Could he deliver them out of the greatest nation in the world? Could he? He began with turning their water to blood. It was the beginning of 10 plagues that would come upon Egypt. Pharaoh wouldn't budge. He said, that's nothing, especially since two other ones previous to this, his sorcerers did the very same thing. That's how demonically possessed and influenced Egypt was at this time. Then he brought frogs upon all the land of Egypt. The people of God were in Goshen. They were just chilling out. The frogs never crossed the line. Whoa, what is this? This is just the beginning of the power of his might. Pharaoh wouldn't budge, so he brought fleas. And then he brought ticks. They're like lice that came upon them next. Then he still wouldn't budge, so he brought a plague upon all of the animals. And still they wouldn't budge, even though the people of Egypt were going, this is getting kind of tough. But all the animals were fine over there. That wouldn't do it, so he brought a plague upon all the men. Boils upon all the Egyptian men. They were troubled. Pharaoh looked and says, what's going on here? And Moses said, you better let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I'm not doing it. I don't care what your God says. I wonder, could he do what he said he would do? He brought locusts. You have to know that locusts eat almost everything. Actually, he brought hail first, and hail destroyed all the crops. Then he brought locusts in to eat the rest of the crops. And Egypt looked at their land. It was barren. Even still, Pharaoh wouldn't go. So he brought 3 days of darkness, the ninth plague. But there was light upon the people in Goshen. They must have looked, the Egyptians must have looked and thought, what is this? I cannot believe this. Who is this God? Yeah, that's right. I'm dreaming again that our world will ask the same question. Then he brought the death of the firstborn. You must know and understand that it's always a symbolic thing, that this is the end of a culture, this is the end of an era, this is the end of a power, and that nation will never be and has never been a great nation since this day. Please, if you don't mind for a moment, they said to the slaves, they were slaves! Slaves for 330 years. In the beginning, they were favored, they became slaves as soon as Joseph was dead, and the Egyptians said, get out of here! They must have looked, what? Get out and take anything you want. I mean, I'd pack in gold. And, really? You sure I can leave? Get out of here. All right. Honey, put some blue. All right, let's go. They must have all walked out looking at each other going, all I know is, though, sweet. We're out of here. Come on, man. They had it going. Even if you're a little white, you could do this. Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, you remember how it was that day of deliverance, that first day you came in when you realized that he has delivered us from everything. You know, you remember how it was. Some of us almost forgot, but they came out like, yeah. Yeah, they've been slaves, man. That's why I'm like I am. Are you kidding me? I was a slave to so many things. Now I'm a free man. I'm, yeah. They kind of can out. Well, Pharaoh began to rethink things. You see, he had 600 chariots and 600 mighty men that he has not used yet. So he began to think, what am I doing here? I'm getting this. He set 600 chariots up with those mighty men. So the children of Israel, like, yeah. The New Yorkers, the Eastern Israelis were going like this. The Western ones were a little more like this. The Californians were going like this. You know, the lower Southwest just had these big on hats and they just kind of walk like this. You know, so they were like us. They were just people, man. Well, they were kind of walking. Everybody was just high-fiving each other, fisting, going, oh, how about you? Yeah, he just said, get out. I've been a slave. And he just said, get out of here. You're free. And I thought, free? They thought like I sometimes think. Who is this God? Well, Pharaoh loaded up his chariots, and they came running, and the children of Israel kind of, you know, I mean, they were like, yeah. And they all heard a noise, and, you know, they kind of looked back and said, what? And they saw the chariots and all that kind of dancing turned into more like this. Get going. Well, they didn't know it, though, but they were running straight into the Red Sea. They didn't realize their direction. They just didn't realize it. And see, the Red Sea's unpassable. You can't pass it. You can't get across it. And so they didn't know they were going there. They didn't know. So they got there. They saw the Red Sea, and they looked back, and here comes Pharaoh's chariots. They looked at the big mo, and he was like this. See, because they didn't know. He delivered them, but could he continue to deliver them? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sky opens. Yeah, I'm thinking, what? And a cloud comes out. One side of it's fire, the other side of it's darkness, and it sits between Pharaoh and the children of Israel. They were afraid, looking at the Red Sea, they were like this, and they saw that cloud come down, they were like this. Then they started to get back to a little bit normal. A couple of them, the Easterners, kind of wise guys, you know? They got around the cloud, and they said, bring it on. Yeah, come on with the big chariot. Yeah, yo, come on. Yeah, you dig in the cloud? What do you think of that? Yeah, fire on this side, darkness on that. What up? Come on, Pharaoh. Bring your big bad self over here. Yeah, they started feeling good about themselves. Again, you remember. So that night, they lay down like most men do. You know, here's Pharaoh. I mean, how long would that cloud stay? And here's the Red Sea. We can't go past it. You know those nights that we all sleep, you know, I lay my head down to rest. So nice and comfortable, peaceful. I don't know. How am I gonna get out of this? I don't know what we're gonna do. I don't know the bills, the thing, I don't know. Oh, I lay me down to sleep. You know how it is. You know how it is. The one people that shouldn't do it, do it. So they were sleepless that night. Little did they know, yo, this invisible God who had showed the power of his might for the first time. They didn't even know it. But over here in Jericho, they were beginning to talk about them. See, that night, the Lord opened up his treasure chest and released an east wind. It blew all night long. It blew a hole in the Red Sea. They woke up that morning, all the men had bags under their eyes. The ladies slept a little quieter, but the guys were all worried. What are we going to do? What's going to be tomorrow? How are we going to pay? Blah, blah, blah. You know. So they got up, and they saw that. They were high-fiving again. They looked and thought, the cloud is still there. This is sweet. Well, as they began to enter into the Red Sea with that, you know, what do you think, Pharaoh? All of a sudden, the cloud lifted, and they heard that noise again. And so all of that, yeah, we're confident in our God, turned into that. Now they're kicking your friend. Get out of my way! They ran to the other side. Come on! See, they had no idea What would he do? Man, I love this story that we know so well. What would he do? Is he a dreamer or isn't he? In the Egyptian archives in their museum, they have a pharaoh who drowned. For them, it was a moment in history. Well, these people were there, then they left, and he drowned. That's it. And I'm thinking, you have no idea. See, that's like our God who comes in for a split second into a nation's history and changes the world. So they got across the other side. You know the story. Closed in on Pharaoh. Well, let me just do this one thing. It's part of the story. I just love it. Let me just say, when they were coming in, this is our God. I'm sure the angels are going, oh, no, look at him. Watch him. Uh-oh, look at him. He looks through the cloud, and he makes their wheels fall off. So they're dragging him through the mud. Can he, you know, and I know I looked at the angels and thought, I'm having fun. Just chill. Just relax. All right, Michael, don't look so serious. Gabriel, talk with him. Tell him to chill. And you know it closed in on them. And his people went. It's amazing to me, 40 days, 40 years, night and day, cloud to protect them, cloud, night and day to protect them, fed them. Their clothes didn't wear out. It's amazing to me. And the New Testament will say that they were a hard-hearted people, yet he cared for them to that degree. Who is this God? He had a predecessor. I could do a little more history with you, Han, then I'll just move around the room a little bit. Yeah, they came out to a city, Jericho, unpenetratable. Even the Egyptians couldn't penetrate it. What would they do? I don't know. Is he like reruns? Ah, sorry. No, he doesn't. That's why I like him. I'm not big on reruns unless I really like the movie, but he's not big on reruns. So they're going to walk around the city. You know the story, 7 times. See, you got to know, he couldn't do this with Italians. No. You got to understand this. He couldn't. I'm not even quiet when I sleep. Linda says, like, swim, move around, talk. Even when I'm sleeping, I'm not quiet. I can't do it with Italians. Couldn't do that. He had to get a culture that could be quiet all day. Yeah. That's why we're here now and not there then. All day, one whole day, be quiet. It would have been like, all right, Jay, you sit out. This one, all right. I'm sure the city of Jericho must have looked down, even though their kings had already lost heart. They looked at them, no weapons, no nothing. No weapons. Man, how do you take a city without weapons? I don't know. Let's watch. 1, 2, 7 days, 7 days, 7 times. Love all the sevens, beautiful numbers. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now, Joshua? We've walked around. The people are kind of starting to laugh at us. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to shout. I don't know. What could happen if the people of God shouted? Yeah, I was there in Jericho, and there was an archaeologist there. I love these people. I do love them because I question, what are you doing? Well, we're here doing a dig. What does it look like? Yeah, it looks like a dig. This is Jericho, right? Yeah. So what are you finding out? Well, we've always had some difficulty, trouble with the excavation. Yeah, why? Well, I don't know. I don't really want to talk about that. You don't look like you really understand things. I said, I really don't. I am very simple-minded. If I recall, the city walls fell in. That's the problem, right? He says, then he looked at me and goes, well, you're not as dumb as you look. Thank you. I said, I know that's impossible, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You can't. There's no way that they could have came in because they were locked in. I know, but there is a story about that, isn't there? Oh, you're one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those, baby. Not ugly or nasty. I know it. You know what's difficult, though? It's because it's impossible, isn't it? Because that's the struggle. It can happen. Who is this God? I'll tell you who he is. He is our God. Amen. See, there was a day in history. It's amazing to me. That's why I love this Bible. If there was ever a day this historical record was important, it's now. How could every 100 years, centuries, the people of God turn from him. I don't understand how that is, but I watch us and I understand it is. And so there was a day when the people of God, again, were cold. There was a 3.5-year famine, and so Elijah said to King Ahab, I'll meet you at Carmel, bring all Israel. Please be where what a mountain this is. When you looked to the east, it is the Mediterranean. To the west is the Mediterranean. You look to the east, it's the Jezreel Valley. It's the most amazing, beautiful thing, this fruitful bow of a mountain, Carmel. So I want you to get everybody there. Just think about it. All Israel is there. Bring Ahab and her 400 prophets of Baal. Bring them too. So Elijah stood up and he said to the people of God, if God be the Lord, or if the Lord be God, serve him. And if Baal be God, serve him. And the people, King James says, halted. They said nothing. So Elijah said, okay. He said, all right, go. So the prophets of Baal, Elijah was kind of a wise guy. They were cutting themselves from the morning to the evening sacrifice. And Elijah's, he goes, maybe he's out to lunch. Hey, maybe he's down at Zojo's having a coffee. Maybe he's down there. Maybe he's not at home. Maybe he's on vacation. He's teasing them. And they're cutting themselves. All Israel's watching. See, I love when the entire church is watching. I love when everyone's watching. What might he do? So they were done, Elijah, which he always does if we're going to have restoration. He repairs first the altar that is broken down. Always. It's got to be repaired. Then he builds an altar and he puts 12 stones because it's not about the church in Washington State or the church in New York or the church in Taiwan. It's about all of us. Puts 12 stones in there and he digs a trench around and he fills it with seed. And he says, bring me the wood. And he brought the wood and he ordered it. And he says, bring me the bullock. Put the bullock on it. He says, there were 3 pots of water over there, 3 empty pots. He goes, fill those 3 pots with water. Bring them over here. They poured it on and everybody's watching. CNN is there, CNBC, even Fox, the Save Network's there. They're all there shaking their heads going, I guess, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, he says, you know what, do it again. Please count. Second time, 6 buckets of water on this. You know, do it one more time. I love this. 4 buckets, 3 times 12, the number 4, just all these beautiful numbers. Just leave it alone. Now it's water's dripping on the sacrifice, the wood. I mean, the prophets of Baal, even though they're tired and everybody else was going, it's impossible to light wet wood. Yeah, it is. So the water got all the way down to the rocks. It filled the moat around. The seed around was filled with water. And Elijah looked up to heaven and he just made a prayer. I so want us to once again look unto him. Look unto him. Look unto him. Let us believe him. Let us hope in him. All of a sudden, fire comes out of heaven. Hits the sacrifice. Bullock gone. Wood gone. Water gone. Rocks gone. Seed gone. And the people of God said, yo, the Lord, he is God. I want to ask you, who is this God? He had a predecessor. His name is Elisha. You okay? One more story. I won't stop in Babylon. I'd like to. 3 young punks who would not bow. Yeah, come on. They hadn't seen their God for 20 years. No text, no word. It was storybooks that Pastor Jeffrey used to tell them. They had not seen him. You don't realize this, but they've been in there 20 years by Daniel 3. They didn't hear or nothing from him. How could they believe? Why should they believe? I'm looking for some of those young men, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Those are their Hebrew names. We know them by their Babylonian names. I'm looking for those young men now, here and now. And young women. So Elisha was living in Dothan, and his Syrian captain got all of his leaders together. He said, we got a spy here. Now, they were the world power at this time, the Syrians. We got a problem here. One of you is a spy. And one of the captains was kind of like, I don't know if I want to tell him. He raised his hand. The general goes, what? He goes, you don't have a spy here. There's this guy living in Dothan. Everything you say in your bedroom, he knows. He's been the one talking to the king of Israel. So he says, oh, yeah? We'll see about that. So they crossed their borders. Yeah, you know what? I have an answer for someone who wants to cross our borders looking for us. So they crossed their borders, and they encamped around Dothan. It's not a large city. They encamped around it. Well, Elisha loved to sleep in. But when he got up, though, he always had a servant go down. And thankfully, down in Beersheba, they opened up a Zojo. And so he liked his servant to go down there and get him a skinny, because he was, you know, vanilla latte, extra foam. So his servant got up like he normally did, quietly, because Elisha was a bit of a light sleeper. Got up and he unlocked the door, opened it, closed the cab. He didn't want to wake up Elisha, but so he went, Elisha, Elisha, Elisha. Elisha woke up and said, what are you, what? Where's my, come here, what's wrong with you? Where's my, come here. Took him by the hand. Why you got the door locked? What's the matter with you? So Elisha stepped out, and the servant stepped up behind him, and he looked around. What?
What?
Sorry. Sorry.
Look.
And Elisha looked. You see, I want to declare something over us tonight that he will declare over his servant. He says to him, what's wrong with you? He said, there are more that be with us than be with them. And so Elijah's servant, like me and you, try to be real faithful. Yeah. One, two, three. Can I borrow your iPhone 5? Yeah. One, two. So Elisha says to him, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And here was this young man, limited by his own vision, limited by what the world presented in fear and torment and a reality of what they understand and what they know. And all of a sudden, this young man who could not see in a realm that was blinded to him sees, and the mountains are filled with chariots of fire, more than the army of Syria. I want to ask you, who is this God? They came down and Elisha struck them with blindness. Yeah, I got some weapons that we're going to use that the world has never seen before. You don't believe it, do you? I wanted you to dream tonight. Even with all this history, we can stop with Daniel. We can stop right here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can go a little further to Esther's moment. and see this young girl, teenage girl, save her entire nation, her entire race. What a moment of our God's conquest through a teenage young girl, virgin, who was an orphan. But even with all this history, there would be nobody like him. When he came, they had never seen such a man. It was divinity in humanity. It was the invisible now manifested in the visible. It was the unseen God now seen, though they could not see him. 30 miracles recorded, John will say in his gospel. I guess if I could, all the books could not contain what he had done. They watched him from the very beginning. If you mind, let me go back to that night. They were walking in almost humiliation, almost midnight. They were a little tired. One of them heard him say something. And I'm sure because they would walk in pairs and threes and fours, they must have heard and said, "Did you hear what he said, Andrew?" "No, Philip. How about you, Nathaniel?" "Well, I thought I heard him say, the works that he did, we would do. Is that what he said?" He goes, "Yeah. Could he be honest? I mean, you remember when he turned the water into wine? I remember that. Do you remember when we were in the boat and we were all afraid, even Peter?" "Yeah, I know, even Peter." "Remember he stood up and he spoke to the storm and the sea and it was calm." "Yeah, I know, but then when we got over there, remember that demoniac?" "Yeah, man, I was afraid of that guy." "I know it. He just spoke and he delivered him. He's talking about that. Do you remember when we got to that gate called Nain? That widow woman was crying. I remember that, and I was sad. I just thought, that's so bad that her child is dead. Yeah, but he stopped in that gate, and he put his hand upon that casket, and he commanded life, and that young man rose from the dead. You mean he's talking about those works? How about that time that we were hungry too? I know, and those people, I just wish they would leave. But he had to feed them. I don't know what we were going to do. All we had was a couple of fish and a couple of bread. You know what I mean? The economy's bad. Doesn't he know that? I mean, if I don't have the money, how can I get the thing? I don't know what he thinks sometimes. But do you remember that? Is he talking about that? Do you remember when those AIDS victims, not they weren't AIDS victims. They were lepers. The incurable disease of the day. Yeah, you remember when they came? I wanted to throw a rock, but I didn't dare do anything. And then he spoke to them. And just his speaking, they were clean, and that one came back, and he made them whole. Do you remember that? Yeah. One of the most amazing things I was a little upset was, you remember when that centurion came to him? Yeah, I know it. A Roman centurion. I didn't like him. He had a bad spirit. I thought so too, but Jesus talked to him. And then he said something about a servant that was dying, and I thought I heard Jesus say, "Go back, he's healed." Wait a minute, he didn't even talk about the servant, didn't lay hands on him, just said it? Could he be talking about things like that? Remember Lazarus? 4 days, I mean, I gave up. I just thought we were going there. Yeah, you remember? Even Thomas thought we were going to go and die there. Yeah, I know, Thomas. Shh, leave him alone. He's got his problems. He doesn't believe anything. I don't know. 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 Remember that? Yeah, he spoke to Lazarus. Remember, he just spoke to him and he came out of the grave. He can't be talking about those things, can he? And then I believe they probably got interrupted by probably Matthew, because Matthew was one of the intelligent ones, believe it or not, him and probably Judas. Matthew probably listened to the whole thing and he said, "Hey," he didn't finish that statement. "You heard him, Matthew?" "Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought the works that he did, are you kidding me? He shook the world." Do you remember even the Pharisees said the whole world's going after him? "I know it. One man shook the world. I cannot believe. I thought there would only be one. I did too, Matthew." But he was talking about us, right? He was, but he said something else. What did he say, Matthew? He said, not only would we do the works he did, we would do greater works. Are you sure, Matthew? That's what he said. Can that be? I gotta ask you, who is this God? I'll tell you who he is. He is our God. Amen. I want us to dream. I'm speaking to Evangel. Look at these seats open here. I see this neighborhood. I know this place. One of the greatest burdens I have is everywhere I go, the lame, the halt, the maimed, the broken are among us and living among us. And I cry out, God, I've got to see the your power again. I believe every word you said. We are going to be a people that will stay in the gap. We will believe. We are desperate for an outpouring of your spirit. We want something we've never seen. We don't just sing songs. We want heaven. We want you. So let's do it tonight. If you need healing, stand before I move in any prophecy. If you need healing, stand. We're going to believe for it. Jay's not laying hands on anybody. I'm not into the one-man thing. I want him to move in power through it. You have to understand this. I want a power back in the church amongst the people of God. I don't want to have to fly to Brazil, China. I'm not into that. Don't believe that. He always had a pool at Bethesda. He's always stirred the waters to let the church know that he's God. But what he's wanting to do is always was the word, the whole earth will be filled with my glory. That the knowledge of the glory of God would cover the earth as the waters covered. That's always been his promise. Always, 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 always. Every family in the earth will be blessed by us. You do realize right now the world's not interested in us. I'm sorry, but I've got to face the fact of that. They see nothing interesting here. Actually, their question still remains, where is your God? Well, I want to tell you something. We want not for you to prove yourself. He's not angry with the world, but we need you once again to magnify yourself within us, through us, by us, that the world would once again see that our God, yo, he is God Almighty. So let's lay hands on these folks. Come on, let's do it. Let's be the church. Let's just believe tonight. Well, we've done it 100 times. I don't care. Let's believe. Let's believe. Come on, if you can't believe, please don't lay hands on anybody. All it takes is a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. Just believing. You can be as carnal as the most carnal Christian on the face of the earth. Love yourself only. Even you, he will work miracles through. Thankfully, we have none of them here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every name that is named bows to the name. We believe in the name. We hold on to the name. We remember, as Nehemiah said, remember the Lord. He is great and awesome. We remember you tonight. We remember the power. We remember the ability of you to deliver us. We remember that even a hard-hearted people, you cared for them. Lay hands up. Yeah, good. We're doing it. Good. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare healing and wholeness. Every sickness, disease, cancer, AIDS, HIV, nothing stands. We are going to be a people that believe for the impossible. We're going to do it. We're going to believe for it. The only hope of the supernatural to this dimension rests with us, the people of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, command everything to be ordered according to the word, healing and wholeness. In this church, I certainly came to deliver this, to share this word. Deliver is not a right thing. I came to share this with us, that Evangel would believe for the supernatural, that the people would come from all over because they heard God is with you. Let's believe it for the miraculous. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him. It's part of giving glory. Let's just thank him. We're believing. We're believing. We're believing. Awesome. Great. Beautiful. Sit for a few minutes. You mind? What time do we usually go to, Pastor? Is that clock right? How about, do you stay till 7 usually, or 6:30 or 6:45 or 6:50? Or? Are you okay? I just gave us Bible 101. I hope he didn't mind it. I want to start with these young people back here. My brother, so I want to make sure, no one's back there. I want to make sure this is being taped. Where is it? Okay, I just want to be sure. All right, because you can't imagine this time, we've had more misses and deletes and video everything, and then as soon as I start, it falls off. I mean, it's just been incredible. I told you, oh, it's the devil. The dude's a jerk, an idiot. Don't even mention his name. It's like mentioning the name of a stupid, a fool, a dummy, a jerk, an idiot, fool, stupid. Anybody who dwells in darkness can't have it all together, first of all. Anybody who rebels against the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, has got to be a fool. I know he's big and kick my rear end, but he's not because he can't. Yo, 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 yo. I'm not fighting him anyways. He's whooped. It's true. Come on. I don't care how dark it gets out there. The hope for darkness always is the light. And there's only one people group in the world that have light. My question is, do you want that much light? Are we going to be happy with that much light? Are we going to be happy? Well, I don't know. You wouldn't realize this, but you can't believe how content we could be with very little light. The people of God, when Jesus came, were sitting in darkness. From Zebulun to Naphtali, the Galilee, they were sitting in darkness. You know what? This shows comfort. I'm relaxed. It's dark here. Well, we didn't know it was dark until we saw a great light. Do you want that much light? Ooh. Wow, this church has real light. This is amazing. Wowee. Boy, I can almost see my finger. Or how about, you know, this light right here. This is nice. Look at it on my head. I'm looking for, now see, that light out there, as great as the sun is, it's still natural light. I'm looking for something more than the sun. Amen. That kind of light. You're okay with that?
Yes.
All right. I do got to leave at 7, though, because Linda threatened me. Well, she just said I'd be nice if you came home at a certain time. So the Lord is really beginning to move into your direction. It's been fun this whole time seeing you. He is. He's really shifting. You see, I love this about our God. We don't often know it, though, but he always walks alongside us. He oftentimes goes ahead of us. Sometimes we don't like that because he's planning a way that we don't like. So we don't always appreciate that. I want him. I like that. But he also walks behind us. And see, the Lord has been this way for you, my young brother. He's been beside you and with you. Even when you were making choices that really weren't the right choices, he was still there with you. Those days from 13, 14, 15, and 16 were not the easiest times of your own personal life. 17 wasn't much easier either. But the Lord intervened continuously for you. But what he is doing, my young friend, look at me so I can see your eyes. What he is doing is he's turning to cause you to see him like you've never seen him. You know, it is my cry for your generation. It's my cry for my generation, my dad's generation, and my grandchildren's generation. Because I know this, though. It's not if, but when he appears, we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
And that is my cry. It's a biblical truth, and it's been the changing factor in my life. It is still my cry. It's still my panting every day. When his appearing, when I see him as he is, I'm altered. I'm changed. Never to go back. I am what I see. I understand. I am what I eat. I am what I drink. I understand that about him. And so my cry is that he turns. So I have no more greater joy than when I look over somebody and I know that what he's doing, he's been walking alongside, but he's turning faceward. When Moses saw him face to face, Moses was never the same. Many people live without ever beholding him, but the Lord's intent is that you see him. Because the Lord has determined that you're a keeper, my young friend, that you're going to be his, not just a believer. And in this visitation, you're going to see the Lord make some real adjustments in your life. So I know you're a thinker. This is what I like about you. You really are a deep thinker. And so as you're hearing me even say this to you, the only reason you're listening so well is because you trust me. People wouldn't think it, though, but we're bros. That's why I wanted that picture taken. All my non-tatty friends will say to me, you're hanging around with that tatty kid with those earrings and that look? And I say, yeah, man, that's my man. And then all his friends will go, what's with the bald-headed guy who thinks he's Vin Diesel? And he'll say, don't talk about him like that. That's my man. That's called generational togetherness. No, it's not. It's no term. I just liked it. So the Lord, in drawing you and causing you to see him, will begin to draw you to his heart. Because it isn't always, it's not just about the music and the string, but you so struggle with destination, you so struggle with tomorrow, you still struggle with the future. You really are. Most people look at you and think, well, he doesn't really care about tomorrow. That is absolutely not the truth. You worry more than most young men will about what the future will be, but the Lord is coming to apprehend you, my young man, so that you'll be totally his. You still will plan and you still will look, but what you will do is not be so much over worry what is, you'll ask him what should be. And the Lord has given you great intelligence. I know you don't think it, and maybe you didn't have the best of grades, but you have to know the Lord's made you an intelligent young man. It's just been an application with you. You're good at the things you love, and you're terrible at the things you don't love. Welcome to man world. But what the Lord is doing in this drawing near to you is going to cause you to begin to love the things you have not been willing to love them fully. In other words, give yourself in a real commitment to the things that you know are right, even though you don't want to. And my young man, the Lord will cause his word to come alive in your spirit and your heart like it never has. Your dream for love and family and acceptance, God will see it too. He will. You don't talk about it much, though, but you so want to just be accepted. You want to make a statement, but you also want to be accepted. Tough place to be. But the Lord is coming to cause the inner man and the outer man to become one. Do not think the Lord is displeased with you. The Lord is pleased. But what he has done is he did with his disciples, what he's done with me, what he's done with many of us, is he's called us knowing that we're at the beginning stages. No parent gets upset at a one-year-old when they poo-poo in their diaper. That's not really good Bible prophetic stuff, but it's fun in this bit. Right? In other words, a parent doesn't get upset when a child stumbles and falls. The parent knows it won't always be like this. And so the Lord looks down on you and he knows, he sees the intent, he sees the direction, he sees where he's going to bring you. The biblical, you're going to come to a place of new schooling, of fresh schooling. It'll be in the world because you've got a dream toward artistry and things of this nature that you love, writing, and you've got this poetic nature. That's why it comes out in the sound and the music. And there's always been a deep thought. That's how you are. To a point sometimes that it's almost depressive. That's what you've battled. But the Lord came and caused the light to come into your spirit that nothing would ever hold you. Nothing. But he's coming to cause you to have a love and a passion for the arts and creative things. And the Lord will allow some education in these directions. But it's going to be a biblical education. Not that you do me or do one of the pastors. But there's going to be a desire. Your desire for the word and the calling of God. It's been stirring. That's why this particular time we met so often. And we kind of rubbed shoulders a little bit. I said, yo, what up? And you said, dude, you're cool. And I said, thank you. Because there was to be a merging of us. And that, not that I'm somebody, but just having to be two shifts passing in the night that would kind of share their pain, kind of bump a little bit. And that when I would leave, there would be marks upon you. But you've marked me too, so don't think it's a one-way street. No, that's cool,
man. Sorry I whipped you.
Yeah, I know. It's not the first time. There's been some women that have whipped me too, but I didn't have that on video. I'm not doing it. No. And see, really, it's an amazing talent, the voice and the words, it really is. And I love this about you because it's like you've been willing to allow the Lord to work the container. That's where most people will not. We want in the vessel fine wine. We want in the vessel fine oil. We want the Lord to play treasure within the vessel, but most vessels will not allow the Lord to work the vessel. But you, my sister, have been willing for the vessel to be worked. And even in your own life, you've had some stumbling, some difficulties. Everyone looks and thinks, well, she just is always happy. Everything's fine in her life. They would have no idea what you have walked through. They would have no idea where your feet have been. They have no idea the hurt places and the broken places and where your feet have been stomped, because people have come along and just stomped at you, and they've spoken to you, and they attempted to tear your heart out, and they attempted to just, most of it's been sticking in your back. That's how it was. The people who say they're your friends, they just stick you in the back. But every time when you could have gotten bitter, you're willing to forgive. Sometimes all of us, me too, we draw that attention. A lot of times it's been my fault, but it hurt. And I was the victim, it felt like. But you have been willing to ask the Lord to forgive, and you've said to the Lord, Lord, change me, alter me, let not me a bitter woman. You've got to know my young sister, God heard it, and you have no idea his rejoicing. You have no idea how he was elated with it. And so the Lord is moving in your direction with as a mighty wind. That's how he's moving. And he's coming to cause things to change in your life. He's going to blow out of your life the things that hold you down, the things that are spearing, the things that are like rubble around you that you can't seem to move forward, can't seem to move back. Don't look at a person. Don't look at things. Just look to him, but he will send it. Just as it came, the east wind came in the night hour. I love this. I tell people, listen. Don't be afraid of darkness. Don't be afraid of night. Well, I am. Don't be afraid of the night. He's always moving in the night. Always. Don't think the darkness prevails. In that first place, we know in the nighttime, he was releasing that east wind. And young lady, in what appeared to be the darkest moments of your life, he already was speaking to the wind that it would be released to your life. And so it's blowing. I could feel a beginning behind me, blowing into your life, blowing through your life to blow away and blow out of your life the things that are despairing, hurtful. You even still have some burnt ashes of early years that you hold on to. I know too. I think some things that happened in my life, I think they're treasures until I see him and I realize, this is junk. Get out of here. It's like that Starbucks cup. Who's going to take that Starbucks home tonight and put it up in their crystal cabinet? And people come and say, what's that? That's a Starbucks cup. No, we're going to take that thing and throw it away. That's the deal. When you see him, you realize a lot of stuff that I've been holding on to has been nothing but a cup, a cardboard cup of no value. And so, my sister, this is the turning change. This is the moment of the rejoicing. This is the moment of Jericho. This is the moment that you can just shout unto the Lord. He takes such delight in your vocals, even when you're in the background. Boy, I'll tell you, I love this about you. You just don't mind. You're really okay with background. You know, most people aren't. They got to be in the front. It's got to be front. I want to be there. I have my voice. Plus, I don't like that young kid anyways. But you're going to make me do that on him? Yeah, and that guitar player over there's got a Starbucks. Something's wrong with him anyways. But you must know how the Lord looks down. He so delights in you. I can see him looking down this way, and it's hard for me sometimes to express in words his emotion. I can see him and I can feel him. That doesn't make me special. What an honor. But to articulate his beat, that's why Jesus came. Only he in his life could articulate what love is. I mean, but you have to know he takes such great delight in you. You are like a royal diadem that he's setting in his crown. He is setting it royal. He is setting it you, even in your family. He has set you into your family that your family would begin to see the work of God. It is a day that you could begin to ask and believe the Lord for things to be restored, love and family. The time of restoration of some things and people who have really separated themselves from you. This is the day of restoration. The Lord's ear is open to your cry. It's open to your heart. It's open to your, it's just as his ear is open to you. And when you utter a word in the morning, you have his attention. You've got to know that. Beautiful. So my young sister here, how you doing? Good. Nice. She's making me nervous, bro. Yeah, no, I know she is, but she's, you know. But it's amazing with you. You just, you know, I know you got this, the coat on, the hair's up. But ever since you were a young girl, you were the shining star. You were the brightness. Your family would say it about you, singing and dancing. Just, you always were. And a lot of that in your life has cost you because, it's amazing. Guys misjudge girls. Guys misjudge guys, but girls misjudge girls, too. And because of your beauty and because of the way you looked, it hasn't always been easy for you. Friendships and relationships have never been easy. It's been a costly life, even as young as you are. Only the Lord knows who we have been. Only the Lord knows the nights that I would go to my own room and cry on the floor. The only he would know when I'd fall on my head crying because my heart was broken. Only he is the one who knows the tears that we have shed. My sister, God is returning to your life. You are set to be a young woman, much like Esther, to be a world changer and a world shaper. Super intelligent, very capable of doing many things. You have inside of you is the vocals. You have the dance. You have the artistry, you have the eyes to see things that others do not see. I'm not trying to build you up, but it's a reality. And God is coming this night to stir in your heart once again to believe beyond belief, y'all. To hope where there seems to be no hope. That you might know that he just simply wasn't creating you just to live in the earth, just to be average, just to be just somebody, anybody. Oh, no. It was for that you would be his young woman, his Esther, his young lady who would stand in her day and believe God when no one else would believe. He's already working it in your heart and your spirit. Even that word that you're holding in your hand, his longing is that you peer into it even more than you do, that you might see him who is hidden in it. And the Lord is going to begin to open up your heart and begin to speak to you and cause you to see him. But this is the beginning of the change. This is the beginning of the coming out, if you will. That's a big New York thing. A girl gets to a certain age. You know it. She comes out. They put her big picture in the paper. It's like, who's this? Well, she's out. They do it by age, but I'm declaring it as the Lord's work with you. And so this is the beginning of the drawing out. This is the beginning of trusting the Lord, because that's kind of been the issue, because you got all this thing on the inside and everything, and you'll talk some, but it's trusting him. I know. It'd be nice if he would just lay out the road, paint the pictures, and I could just kind of mosey in. But he's not, though, because he likes adventure. He likes mystery. He likes to do something he's never done. And what he likes to do is come into a generation and find a young person who just might be willing to believe him. So I want you to know he has found one. So please understand, education will be your deal. You have the ability to do the PhD. No question. If you want to teach, you can. If you want to be an artist, if you want to do the whole modeling, clothing thing, all these things, this understanding of sound, color arrangements, artistic architecture things, all of these dimensions that for me I don't understand, because I don't have that kind of sight. I understand tabernacle, I understand spiritual things, so I understand what the Lord is saying, but all this, I don't understand how someone designs a dress. I don't really care about that, but I don't understand how they do that. They get an image and they do it because I have friends like that. That's what you have. And so the Lord is really drawing near to open it up. But remember this. It has been him who has done it. It has been him who's opened up the doors. It has been him who has set you. He is the one who's blessed you, not your hands or your talent. It's all been him. Why? Because he wants to set you among influential people that they might find him in you and find him through you. That's the reason. Please know, he's not held back by anything. You have to hear this. Part of my sharing tonight was for you to hear that he is absolutely, there are no holds barred. There's no limitations. He's just looking for somebody that might want to raise the bar a bit higher. Girl, he's got one. My brother, the Lord is so enjoyed you as a covenant man, and a covenant maker, a covenant creator, a man who has held on to the truths of God. Even when people in this place laughed and broke down and said, well, it's not true. He didn't say that. He doesn't mean that. And they ridiculed. They were really against God, but they said stuff about him and they said stuff about other people. You remained. You were not a standard bearer that fought back or vocalized. You're not a defender. Even the Lord didn't defend his father. Even his father didn't even defend the Lord. They didn't defend each other. You didn't defend, but you held true to what was covenant, what was true, what was agreed upon. You've always been this kind of man. And you have to know, my brother, the Lord is coming to your home, to your family, as a covenant-keeping God. And you're going to see the Lord, many things that you've been waiting for him to do amongst the people that you love, amongst the people that you care for. You've stood in the balance. You've made up the head. You stood in the gap. You've done everything you know. But what you haven't been willing to do is to push, prod. I love this about you. So to see you're the gentle giant, if you will. You wouldn't be a man that would force people, force feed Jesus into their mouth. And even when they would talk behind your back, you'd welcome them in your home. You have to know that the Lord is coming with his reward in his hand, and you will see him cause the covenant that he has made with his son and with you, for your children, for your family, for the people that you love, the dearest ones, even the ones who are distant, even your nephews and their children, the ones who don't even know you, they have no idea that because of you, the Lord will go for them. So please know this is a day to arise with fresh strength to believe the Lord. This is a day to arise with new hope that the Lord will do what he has said. Even in your own life, and as you're looking over the next 20 years, as you're reaching 60s and 70s and 80s, and you're looking and you're planning and you're watching. I love this because you're good at barometer. You're good at getting the weight of the finances. You're good at getting the weight of things. Even as you look at them, the Lord is drawn near to let you know even some of these things I've said. These things you've taught, you know these stories. You could tell these stories, but is he turning to you like I want him to turn to us, that we might remember his greatness? And he is not limited by what Wall Street says, or he's not limited by anybody's market, he's not limited by any government, he's not certainly not limited by any voice that comes out of any country. The only limitation is what the people of God put on him. So the Lord's coming to cause you to believe in such new strength. Dude, I'm just telling you, it's like he's laying 20-year-old hips, thighs, knees, and feet upon your life so that you might run as a young man would run with eagle's wings, that you might fly once again as you once did. You don't realize the dream of the Lord for you, my young sister. Boy, you and her, it's amazing, some of the young people in this church. See, that pastor over there, I'm going to tell on him a little bit. You see, he's always had a dream. And, you know, I know we have a lot of gray hairs in here, but he's never been about the gray hairs, even though his hair is getting, he wish it was gray, but it's kind of getting a little bit less. Yeah, I know it. Yeah. I have that forehead now that goes to the back of my neck. Yep, I know. I knew for years ago that modeling wasn't going to be for me. Plus, I had antique white teeth all my life, so that's not going to work either. Maybe dove white. I don't know. It's closer to... His dream, though, was that the Lord would lay a sickle into every generation as he went up a generation, the generation would come. And his desire is that they wouldn't only be men and women of music and sound, but they would walk, as it were, above the earth, that they would walk in dimensions and places unseen, that they would be people of the invisible. That's why we connect. And so, my young sister, the Lord has certainly birthed you that way. Even though church has been a degree of your existence, and it has been, I know, much of it looks so foolish. Christians are weird. No, that's just the way it is. They do weird things, strange things. Sometimes I wish you'd kind of cool it down just a little. I'd rather see a burning fire on the inside than a lot of stuff. Anyhow, it just is. We're kind of strange. We put ourselves on TV. Now they think we're really strange. It's just the way we are. It's the way we do things, you know. It was Hezekiah's mistake. I'm not so sure it hasn't been ours. But the Lord intended that he would draw young people in here and that he would meet them. He would actually bring the select. You see, even when a winery and a wine dresser is doing wine, he has a select vintage. He has an old vine that's going to produce wine that is going to be his select. It's always the most expensive. Men and women will come from around the world for the select wine. People who don't know wine will buy the box wine. I'm not a real drinker of wine, but I know wine because he talks about us as being like wine, spirit is wine. That's why I know this. And you, my young sister, were born to be select of the Lord's spirit and the Lord's heart. There is so much you can do too. Absolutely gorgeous. You've been at the top of your class always. You know, there's really nothing you could do. Multi-talented young woman is how you are. And so your future's wide open to you. But I want you to know, and it really is a desire of yours, because you want to do things, but you're also hidden within you as you want to be pleasing to the Lord. That's the beautiful thing. As I walk by here and I was talking to him, doesn't matter what the relationship is, but I could hear it in your heart and hear it in your spirit. And when I glanced over a couple of times to look in your eyes, I could see it in your eyes. Most people wouldn't know it. People have looked at you and misjudged you many times. Well, she's just whatever. Don't listen to them. I know you don't, but those words still hurt, you know. And you've been on that side more than you've ever been on that side. This is the beginning of the Lord causing the seed that's in you to desire him to begin to grow and open up. And God is going to begin come draw near to you. Girl, you got the eyes. Doesn't mean you do what I do, but you were born to be a young woman who understands the invisible dimensions. I'm not weird. I'm like this all the time. This is me. You get me? Am I like this as Zoe? This is me. I'm not like somebody else and something else. No, this is it. This is life. I'm supposed to live in that place. I'm supposed to be a guy who lives, a people who live in the supernatural all the time. Amen. We're supposed to be that. It's no different. It's better. I'm more comfortable here than in any place, other place. That is your destiny. It's in your eyes. The Lord has built within you a spirit for his dwelling, a tabernacle for God. Out of your mouth will come words of gold and silver and precious stone. He wants to unearth in you and lay inside of you a treasure of a divine nature. See, even by my word, my sister, has been such a war in you, what you should do, how it should be. And God has intervened even tonight so you wouldn't settle for anything less, not in relationships, not in anyone's love, but you settle for him. He will care for you. He will make all things work out for you. Do not limit him. Do not look around and say, well, this is what I want. This looks right. You trust him and God will cause your world to open up. But you've got to know he has chosen to intervene. He himself has stood up in his holy habitation. I see him when he does. You have to know this. When he does, all earth is silent. And his standing up is causing everything to be silent. Even your uncertainty and questions silencing. Knowing that he is God. He is the one who's chosen you. He is the one who selected you. It was his idea, you being here. And tonight is his idea to let you know you are his. You trust him, and he will cause your heart and spirit to open up. And there is such a destiny and kingdom and purpose that God has done and will continue to do in your life. There's a woman by the name of Deborah. Deborah and Ruth, he is building in one with you. Two ladies, both amazing, both strong, both willing to stand in a day of adversity without any fear. That's you. Do not limit the work of God, even in love relationships. Do not settle for anything less than his will. He will not make you wait. He will not cause you to be frustrated. But what he will do is cause your life to be fuller. Please hear this. Fuller than you could ever have dreamed. We got to stand up. I got to go. It's 10 after 7. Thank you. Just stand up for a minute. Yeah. So my brother, the Lord too is visiting you. There's just a fresh visitation upon the elders of this church and the men who have labored, the men who are unseen. Even in I want you to say this. I want you to say this to my brother over there too. Even the ones, I may not get to all the guys, but I want to say it to you guys. I want to say it to the other guys. Even the guys who have left and out of frustration have left, even them, the Lord is going to rest upon, even as I'm saying to you. Even them, because the Lord is not one to forget any man's work and labor of love. He is not. He's not unrighteous at all. And you will see the Lord go back and visit some of the men who stood here, some of the men who believed with you, stood, agreed, said yes. Even them, you're going to see the Lord visit and cause to come back, even if they only come back for a moment, just to say, listen, I'm with you. Even though I'm there, I'm with you. Because the Lord's intending to restructure the strength of Evangel, where the enemy's tried to come and make her feeble, kind of cause its foundation to be rubbly so that it couldn't get the height that you desire and the width that you desire and the length. The Lord himself is coming to strengthen the foundation, reset the bricks. He's declaring and speaking to it, even as I am speaking now, so that it can have its height. That's been the war of the enemy against this place, that it wouldn't have its height its width and its length, all determined by its foundation. That's why he's gone after some of the ones who once stood. That's why he's worn out the servants and the burden bearers so that they wouldn't remain under the burden, under the pressure, that they would forget the dream, forget the declaration of the Lord, and they just simply quit. He has come to see that not to happen. So the Lord has come to strengthen you and strengthen your family. He's come just to turn you this way, just like this. I love this about our God. I could be in one direction my whole life, and I see things clearly. And when he turns me, I had no idea that he was doing this. He does that. He allows me to go in a certain direction so that I will trust him. I'm looking and I'm thinking it's right. It doesn't mean you're turning jobs, turning family, turning out of the church. It's not that. But he's just turning you for there to be a fresh strength and a fresh hope. Is it as if you're looking at dusk, but he's going to turn you to see the dawn? Boy, there's two differences in those two. Because one looks like it's coming to a close. I don't have to explain it. The other one is rising up. And so God is really turning you to freshness, lay within your heart a freshness to believe him. It is vital, my brother, that you strengthen the brothers. Maybe you're the weakest of all, but it doesn't really matter to me. But it is. It is to once again be strengthened, once again believe, once again the hope. And you might say, well, Jay, I hope and believe. But not like it is when he turns and he calls you to see. It is just like when Zerubbabel stood and they looked at that floor. 16 years to 18 years, it just was there. They're looking at it. We got to build it, I know, but we don't have the money. We don't have the thing. We got to build it, I know. And all of a sudden, the prophet Haggai and Zechariah come and just speak to them. And all of a sudden, they and the people had a heart to build. Despite the pressure, despite the finances, despite what they were going through, despite the people, they built. That's what I'm talking about. And so the Lord is opening your heart and your spirit. Even in your own life, my brother, the Lord's coming with strength in the interior, in your hip, lower back. He's coming to strengthen your neck, but he's really coming to, as I said to my brother over there, keep covenant with you and your family in some areas of finances, some areas of family, and believing for the miraculous in your life. God's returning to cause that very thing to be. Amen. One hand up, please. Father, let tonight, if we do anything, when we walk out this door, let us embrace that our God is a dreamer. He certainly believes for me and us more than we do. That I know. Dare we rise up. Dare we look up. Dare we consider him. Dare we look unto him. Dare we hope in the hopeless that what you have declared, you will do. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.